Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
And welcome to the show. I'm delighted to have with me all the way from Australia, Chris Hooper. Chris, good day.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
It's great to have you, Chris. And for the benefit of people listening that may not have come across you, just tell us a bit about your background and your areas of expertise.
So I'm an accountant by trade, been in the profession over 10 years. Went to the Institute of Chartered Accountants here in Australia. Spent about 4 or 5 years in a mid-tier public practice here. Spent a couple of years in the corporate sector as well, working for a publicly listed company. Then set up my own practice, Cirillo Hooper & Company, back in 2011. And then subsequently started a Codex Partners in 2015.
So what exactly do you do day to day, Chris, and how do you make your money?
Well, today I actually spent half the day fixing a blocked sink in the office.
You're really living the dream, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I do is pretty much everything that needs to be done. One of my biggest strengths in business is anything that's in front of me, I can figure that out. So I'm good at problem solving, and I think I'm a good wartime general, which in early stage startup phase, you absolutely need to be.
Okay, and specifically for accounting firms and the profession, what do you do?
Okay, so what a Codex does, it's what we like to call the market network for freelance accountants. And what we do is we help them accelerate their revenue velocity and basically manage their practices.
Mm. How coachable are accountants? You're giving them great stuff to do. We're doing the same here with the BD Academy. We're teaching them how to become great work winners. They don't always take it on like they should do. How are you finding them?
In some respects, they're very difficult to coach. In other respects, they're amazing to coach. One thing I've noticed is the subject and content is built for accountants by accountant. It's a little more appetizing. I imagine that for your average accountant, some of the stuff that you're producing, Rob, would be quite hard to swallow versus, say, you know, a tax update or some professional development around accounting standards. There's definitely something to be said about actually translating non-accounting concepts into accountant, if that makes sense. Yeah. That's something that we've had a lot of success with at a Codex.
Mm. What do you think makes a good accountant, Chris?
But I'm going to say intuition, just to mix it up a little bit.
Okay.
I think some of the greatest accountants that I've ever worked with have a very keen sense of intuition when it comes to numbers and financials. You know, you can give them a general ledger or you can give them just an Excel worksheet and they can just kind of look at it, absorb it, assimilate it, and know what's wrong and where the opportunities are, almost second nature to them. And watching them just get it instantly without even having to pull out a calculator or write anything down, they just know where the opportunities are.
Sure. Do you get a sense, Chris, that the Australian accountancy scene is a little further ahead than the rest of the world? Because you guys down there are pretty innovative, aren't you?
Yeah, look, I think that's by virtue of, Xero being founded in the Asia Pacific region. It kind of expanded out from New Zealand into Australia. And then very recently, well, not recently, it's been a while now, but, you know, in relative terms, recently set up in the United Kingdom and the United States. So we've had the benefit of sort of almost 10 years, I would say, with Xero breaking into the market. And it's no different in the United Kingdom. You've got this entire app ecosystem and everyone's kind of lifting the game in terms of technology incumbents and new entrants into the market. And I think Australia just had a kind of 3 or 4 year head start versus, my counterparties in the United Kingdom and the United States.
Mm. Let's talk about the software for a moment. Do you feel that the tail is wagging the dog or the dog's wagging the tail? Are accountants driving the changes in software or the other way around?
I'm going to hedge my bets here and actually say both.
Yeah.
I think, you know, at the end of the day, these software companies are businesses, right? So they have to concede to what the market wants. But then that old Henry Ford quote, if I had have asked my customers what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse. So I think, you know, on one hand, you're addressing the needs and the gaps in workflow of accountants as a customer. But then at some point, you kind of just need to come down from the mountain and say, no, this is the new best practice. So I see a bit of both happening in the accounting software space.
Yeah, you said the best accountants are more intuitive. Let's take the the firm as a whole? What separates a good accounting firm from a great firm?
I would definitely say in this day and age, a level of tech savviness is important in those great firms. I also think a fresh brand and marketing presence and understanding of the importance of marketing and customer experience, especially, is also important. You know, some of the greatest firms that I've seen, and these are the ones that are winning all these awards and whatnot, they've got a really good presence on social media and they've got great polished websites. They're very high tech in terms of, you know, what's going on behind the curtain. So I think those are probably the big hallmarks. And I think the last one is probably leadership. In terms of, like, there needs to be a managing partner as a minimum. I find it difficult to believe that a firm can function with, say, 10 partners operating as this equal democracy without one person who draws the line in the sand and says, yep, this is where we're heading. That's probably the cornerstone of everything else that I said prior to that is leadership.
Yeah, what makes a good managing partner?
Probably the ones that don't make good accountants, you know, so check the billables for the partners, and whoever's got the lowest billable hours is probably a good managing partner, because they're probably head in the clouds, you know, distracted, or they're spending too much time, God forbid, too much time on the client service and wheeling and dealing and making it rain for the firm. Yeah. So I think, yeah, what makes a good managing partner is bad billables, vision, and this ability to just be this rainmaker, not just for their practice, but for the entire firm as a whole. Thought leadership and advocacy for the entire firm. I think those are all important hallmarks of good managing partners.
Mm. You talk about winning work there. We call it business development here in the UK, a familiar term. Whose job do you think it is to win work in an accounting firm?
I think it is the partners, you know, each individual partner unto themselves. We did the experiment with trying to get non-accounting people to sell accounting. And I think your listeners will agree that it's just very difficult to pull off, because the second you get into a qualifying conversation with a prospective client, they'll always have these technical questions for you. And that's very hard for someone who hasn't got a wealth of experience behind them to actually just answer them and, you know, move on to that qualification phase. Mm. So I think the ultimate responsibility is with, partners themselves. But then also I think there's an opportunity for seniors and associates to just start dipping a toe in the water. And it may be like these small business proposals, but I think they need to start practicing if they want to be seriously considered for partner track.
Yeah. It's my contention that it's everyone's job to win work in a firm. But when you say win work, a lot of them can just be starting conversations and opening the doors for their colleagues. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a matter of advocacy. But, you know, when you're talking about actually, you know, getting proposals or engagement letters signed off, ultimately that's the partner and to a lesser extent, seniors and associates.
Sure. What are the biggest challenges, particularly the large firms face if they want to grow, do you think?
Particularly the large firms, the biggest challenge is just the speed at which those firms can actually move. You know, as given the organization structure, there's a lot of sort of lag or like gravity holding these firms down. And it's very difficult to elicit change in and of itself, let alone elicit change very quickly. And you and I both know, Rob, that the technological landscape in accounting is moving at a eye-watering pace. Mm-hmm. I think being able to change and to adapt quickly is going to be an important deciding factor between those mid-tier firms that are growing quickly and those that aren't.
So what drives this kind of agility that you're talking about? Is it internal and culture or is it external?
External in terms of technology is driving the imperative for change. But at the end of the day, it's all cultural. 100% of every change management plan is cultural. You can have the most regimented project manager on the planet working at your firm, but if you don't have buy-in from the receptionist all the way to the managing partner, you're going to struggle to get anything across the line. So it's definitely a cultural thing. One thing I like to do at a Codex is just constantly change everything for no reason at all. and I'm talking about low gradient stuff. Yeah, like, so just moving office furniture around or painting walls or just that trivial kind of stuff, but just to make people comfortable with the uncomfortable so that when you do actually elicit a significant change, people are acclimatized to it and, you know, it's a little less daunting if everything's changing every single month anyway.
Yeah, it's a good point. Accountants, by nature, are risk-averse, and risk-averse means not so open to change, but I like the idea of those micro constant changes just to get them used to that environment.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no risk associated with painting a wall in the office or, you know, moving some office furniture around. It's very easy to start with those low gradient risks and work your way up.
Are there any aspect of the accounting sector that hasn't moved as quickly as it should have done?
I want to say audit, actually. I feel like audit could have moved a lot quicker than it has. For whatever reason, I thought there was just going to be a lot more movement in audit and assurance related work.
In what direction?
In terms of technology, I thought there was going to be a lot more innovation and a lot more like time-centric or throughput-centric software and technology coming to the forefront. And, you know, we've seen some ebbs and flows, but I was fully expecting the audit facet of the profession to be completely turned on its head. But that just hasn't come to fruition in the last decade. So, you know, I'm sure it will. It just didn't happen within my time frames.
Yeah. So what's really working for the successful firms? Where do you see the most opportunities for them for growth?
So I think the number one, like the common denominator I see in the successful firms, you know, outside the stuff that I've already spoken about, but coming back to what you said in terms of everyone is in sales, I do see this really impressive level of like just brand advocacy and buy-in in a lot of these firms, where people from the receptionist to the managing partner are all representing and advocating for the firm, both in work and outside of work. And everyone is kind of bringing in leads or prospects as a minimum into the firm. And I see this very proactive approach to actual business development, coming back to that top-down, you know, everyone's an ambassador type thing, but then also actively pursuing the work through networking, through public speaking, thought leadership, hosting events, and then also doing the online piece as well. Those successful firms are really proactive about business development as a whole.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Hence the BD Academy working with these
Absolutely.
Firms. Yeah. How has the way firms grow, win business, win work, stand out, changed over recent years?
I think you cannot rely on referrals as much as you used to 10 or 20 years ago. I think it was very easy to be an accountant in the 90s, where you'd kind of just hang a shingle out the front and, you know, wait for the phone to ring. And right. over time, you would naturally, organically, by nature of referral, be billing seven figures without really breaking stride. Right. I think these days, clients are a lot more mobile, so they can change and will change accountants much more readily than they would 20 years ago, because the switching costs are much lower. You know, it used to be a massive saga to kind of untangle from your accountant and then find a new one. That barrier is becoming less and less. So customers are becoming more portable. And again, I don't think you can rely as much on referrals as you were able to 10 or 20 years ago.
What about the concept of loyalty? You would stay with your accountant for a while because it's easier to switch. There's more propensity to switch. You've seen a lot more movement between firms.
Yeah, so, you know, in the last 10 years, I've seen more movement, and there's data to prove that there is more movement between clients and different firms. And that's probably reflected in some of your listeners, like client churn rates. And we're not talking huge percentages in terms of turnover, but we have seen this gradual uptick in terms of like net churn figures. And that's attributable to the switching costs being reduced. Now, in terms of loyalty, I will make a point on that you will never ever be able to sever the relationship that a small business owner has with their accountants. That is a relationship that is just never going out of fashion anytime soon. In most countries, the accountant is regarded as your most trusted business advisor. And I like to paint the analogy of, you know, imagine you're having cash flow trouble in your business. You can't talk to your spouse about it. You can't talk to your staff about it. You know, you can't talk to your customers about it. You can't talk to your friends about it. The only person you can really have an honest honest conversation with is your accountant. And you can have that conversation in confidence because they're bound by, professional privilege. Yeah. So that loyalty is never going out of fashion. And I think that's hardwired into the switching costs of accounting, that customers or clients are going to think long and hard before they actually leave their accountant because of that relationship.
Yeah, love that. Chris, you're a disruptor. I know you're an innovator. You like to drive change. So I've got no qualms about asking you, what's the worst advice or doctrine you see being dispensed in the world of accounting?
The whole end is nigh. The doomsday rhetoric, that has been overplayed. Accounting's not going out of business anytime soon, okay? So the end is not nigh. It's certainly being disrupted. Everyone's not in any doubt or disagreement about that. And obviously, there are some inherent business advantages to the firms that have acknowledged that, you know, change is just a part of life in the accounting profession now. Those firms are getting more competitive advantage in terms of a higher revenue growth rate, a higher average hourly rate, and by virtue of that, higher net profit per partner. Like, those firms are realizing that. That being said, a firm that has done nothing by way of business improvement or change management in the last decade, I can guarantee you, is still profitable, is still growing, but not at a breakneck pace, kind of a plus minus 5% every single year, pretty stable status quo. Those businesses are still around and they're still going to be around in another 10 years' time. It's just a question of, do you want the firm to grow or not? The one thing I would just add to that as a caveat is that there are young people in your firm. And if your firm hasn't changed one iota in 10 years, that is probably a cause for concern in terms of succession. Some partners in firms globally need to have an honest conversation about, what are we doing to entice the 30-something year olds to actually stay around and to actually buy an equity stake in this business? Because barriers to entry to starting up accounting practices are just vaporizing. So, you know, I'm having conversations every single day with 30-something year old accountants going, why should I buy into this firm, Chris? And I've got no good answer for them. So I think firms have to have an honest conversation in that respect. But wholly and solely around the idea of succession.
What advice would you give on the hiring and training policy for progressive firms? Because presumably it's about the talent and the people.
So hiring, you know, it's always a battle. And, you know, globally, I see the battle as being that, you know, CPA, CA type accountant with about 5 years of experience. Those are the ones that, often shift around firms. And I see a lot of competition for those types of accountants globally. In terms of hiring, it's definitely on culture. You know that old saying, you hire for attitude, you train for skills, which kind of, you know, leads into your next point, which was about training. I cannot, you know, understate the importance of training. Like, we have one full-time person whose entire job is to build training and development material for not just our partners, but for all staff within the entire company. And that's everything. That's what she does every single day. And that's above and beyond the CPD stuff that we do, and the other non-accounting content that we actually buy for the firm as well. It's super important that people just continue to grow and develop. And I think that's one of the big things that, you know, those millennial accountants are actually looking for in their careers as well.
Yeah. Brilliant. Chris, you've been called an accounting futurist. So let's get your crystal ball out. Tell us definitively what's critical for large progressive accounting firms, well, indeed any accounting firms over the next few years.
Okay, so, I mean, the cloud thing is in play and has been in play for quite some time. And if firms have accepted that, let's assume that this firm is 100% cloud, then what those partners should be looking at is their labor force and their organization structure. There's quite a lot of disruption happening concurrently around labor force dynamics. So, you know, without giving too much away, have a look at the org chart, have a look at the org structure. Spend some time researching that and coming back to that training, development, recruitment, retention thing. If you're 100% cloud, you need to start looking at the people situation a little closer now that you are 100% cloud. Obviously, if you're not 100% cloud already, it's just still an ongoing journey to get there. I cannot stress enough the inherent advantage of actually, you know, being 100% paperless, 100% serverless, and being able to share data real time with your clients from anywhere in the world. It is obviously an expensive and a heartbreaking journey to go through, not just in terms of sunk costs, but also in terms of stress and anxiety. But it is one that actually needs to happen.
Is there anything you've changed your mind on in the last few years?
I expected a faster pace of disruption in audit. The other thing is actually the speed at which the accounting profession is moving technologically. I massively underestimated or overestimated the speed at which the accounting profession would move. So from the reports that I've been studying, the accounting profession is actually moving at a slower pace than I'd first anticipated. Now, that's great news for me at a Codex. It means I can relax just a little bit without having to freak out about, competitors trying to, move in on our competitive advantage. And I also think it's good news for the majority of other firms out there, being that everyone is having similar challenges in terms of the technology piece. And everyone's just kind of working through them, in an orderly fashion. And there's not too many, massively disruptive players in the market who are just gobbling a huge amount of market share, which I think is a good thing. And I think that's going to continue to be the case till, this technology is fully proliferated throughout the accounting.
Yeah. Chris, if people want to have a conversation with you and find out more about a Codex, how might they get in touch?
Look, LinkedIn and Twitter are probably my most active social media channels. But on Twitter, it's at ChrisHooper87. And on LinkedIn, I suppose you just Google search or LinkedIn search Chris Hooper from Adelaide, South Australia. And I'm sure they'll find me easy enough.
And what would warrant a conversation with you? What kind of things would need to be happening in their firm for them to say, wow, we need Chris Hooper right now?
I'm always keen to just kind of discuss the future of the accounting profession, so far as technology, labor markets, globalization, that sort of stuff is concerned. Anyone who just wants to know about, what's happening in the profession in terms of what's going to happen, or anyone who's got ideas, and this is the important thing in terms of, please reach out. If you've got a theory or a hypothesis about what accounting is going to look like in 10 years, I absolutely want to hear that.
Mm. Chris, this has been great. Would you leave the accountants listening with your best bit of advice, maybe that you've been given in your career that will send them off to really make a difference?
Go get a mentor as soon as possible. Credit all of my success to date in the accounting profession to this chance encounter with a young woman by the name of Carly Barker when I was 19, who gave me her card. She worked at PKF. I told her I was going to accounting school, and she said, call me after your first week of university. She taught me everything I needed to know about the actual inner workings of the profession, enabled me to actually fast track my progress through the profession. If you are in public practice right now, I don't care if you're a senior, an associate, a manager, or a partner, you don't have a mentor, like, make it your mission for the next week to go and find one, because I've used mentors every single year to just get that little bit further, that little bit faster, because you're standing on the shoulder of giants there, and you're learning from their mistakes, hopefully before you actually make those same mistakes. Yeah, I cannot preach that enough.
Love it, Chris Hooper. Thanks so much for your time today. That's been superb.
Thanks, Rob.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world-class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.